Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. If you will join me for a brief word of prayer on this Mother's Day as we begin to see what God has on the sermon topic, it's time to get in the garden and dig. Hashtag deep roots. Gracious God, do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Deep roots. About 3 to 4 years ago, my family and I found ourselves in a situation where we learned the home we were living in was unhealthy for us. Once we became aware of this, we had to quickly identify and move into a new house. Thankfully, I'm a taskmaster, so in short order, I was able to do the research and within 3 weeks find us a place to live that caused almost no disruption to our normal routine. In fact, it was a better situation for us. About a week after we were moved in and got settled, I looked over the balcony, and to my horror, I realized something that I, the taskmaster, had somehow overlooked in my haste to make it happen. If Minister Gross can give me that first visual. Right there, taking up a sizable corner of the backyard, was a dead garden. As one who likes things to be neat and orderly and has absolutely no gardening experience, and I had no desire to gain any, I was horrified by this eyesore. When we originally looked at the house, it was kind of dark, so I could see the size of the yard, but not the details. But I was happy about the yard. It wasn't a large backyard, but it was one of the features of the home I was excited about. It had just enough space for us to sit out back on a spring night to unwind from the demands of the day. It was just the right size for us to host intimate summer cookouts with two other couples we have a standing group date with. I was excited about the peace and tranquility that would come from sitting outside and taking in the beauty of nature on a fall evening. The excitement of this safe and comfortable new space was dampened by this disgrace of a backyard. And on this Mother's Day, I'd like to share with you all how God, being God, used the thing that I thought was so disgraceful to show the importance of deep roots. The first thing this disgrace of a garden taught me is, even if it looks like it's dead, that doesn't mean there is no life. Would you look at it? It's brown, it's dry, it's messy, it's an eyesore. And it's among grass that, while dry, clearly still has life. There is nothing about this that says I'm worthy, I'm beautiful, I'm important. Fight for me. In fact, it says the exact opposite. It says I'm tired, I'm worn, I'm unattractive, I have nothing to give, I am of no value, I am of a disgrace. Has anyone in here other than me ever had moments like that? Moments where you've looked at your life or the current situation and felt like it was worthless? Like there's no coming back, like everyone had given up on you and stopped pouring into your life, like no matter what you do, it's not going to get better, like it's just dead. But our scripture says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. One of the things I've learned about the word of God is you have to pay attention to the details. You see, every word is significant, and right here, the word therefore is significant. The word therefore means consequently or for that reason. So if our text tells us, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, we know that something is about to happen. God wants us to strengthen our arms and knees because something is about to shift. So my sisters and my brothers, whatever that thing is in your life that looks dried up, dead, and useless, know that the word of God says, therefore. God doesn't always reveal to us what that shift is and when we want it to be revealed or how we want it revealed, but just know that something is going to shift. Therefore, we don't need to remain in despair over what appears to be dead. Instead, we need to strengthen our feeble arms and weak knees. We are people of faith, so our finances may be dried up. Therefore, we're going to change our spending patterns and possibly even our earning patterns. Our health may not be what it should. Therefore, we're going to make healthier choices about what we eat and our physical activities. Our mental health may be compromised. Therefore, we're not going to act like it's not happening, but find a good therapist. Our inner peace may be disturbed. Therefore, we're going to reevaluate our relationships and the people we allow to pour into or pour out of our spirit. Therefore, 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 strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, because that place of disgrace is not the place God has called us to remain in. And after, our text lets us know that there's a reason to strengthen our feeble arms and weak knees. It goes on to say, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So what does that mean? It means you gaining your strength, and that shift that comes is not just for you. The word of God is commanding us to get our stuff together so that we can help others. It's not just about us getting out of our dry places. It's about creating a path, an example for others who are in a dry and dying frame of mind. We are required to be a testimony for others. What do others see when they see us? When you see Reverend Doctor, do you see a woman who holds multiple upper-level degrees, is overwhelmingly happily married for over 50 years with two very well-accomplished sons? Or do you see the woman who grew up with just a couple of uniform outfits that her mother would repeatedly wash during the week? A woman who has overcome significant losses, including both of her parents, after serving as their caregiver. And because she found her strength in God, she lives and serves in the joy of Jesus and is able to minister to and guide others through caregiving, comfort, and be a nurturing spirit to us all. When you look at my husband, do you see a 48-year-old loving husband, providing father, and corporate professional? Or do you see the dude who grew up in the gutters of the Lower East Side of New York during the height of the heroin and crack epidemic, when black men weren't expected to live to see 20 years old? And if he was alive, he'd be on Rikers Island or strung out. Or do you see the tough decisions of leaving behind people who didn't have your best interests at heart, leaving the comfort of familiarity and working hard through the challenges to have a different outcome? When you look at me, do you see a preacher who has a healthy marriage, children making an effort to be good people, a successful career, and inner peace? Or do you see someone who has overcome low self-esteem, self-doubt, abandonment issues, abusive and toxic relationships? And because I found my strength in God, I am unapologetic in loving my whole self and walking in my calling to help others do the same. How are you using whatever the things were that one time made you weak and feeble that you have now overcome? Are you using the results of therefore strengthening yourself in order to help others find strength? If not, we need to, because the instructions given in our text tells us we have to make level paths for your feet so the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. It may look dead, but that doesn't mean there's no life left. Hallelujah. The second thing I learned from this dried up garden is there are some roots that I had to dig up. The seasons were shifting, and it had rained a few times. I remember looking over the balcony and saw that a bunch of green had started to grow up. I looked out a few days later, and there was even more green. So I said, I guess it ain't dead after all. And just as a side note, people will have their opinions about your situation, but you have to have the strength and the faith to trust in the facts of your situation and own it for how God has given it to you. But a few more weeks went by, and you know how the weather is here in this area. It'll be beautiful for a few days, and then it'll snow. Then it'll be beautiful again. Well, that was actually the situation during that time period. And after a few beautiful days, there was a day it was really cold. And the next day, we had about 2 inches of snow. So I hadn't paid any attention to the yard. Then one day, I went to pull the curtains open because I just love natural sunlight. And I looked down, and to my surprise, I saw a few roses blooming. If you can give me that second picture, please, Minister Gross. I had no idea that, one, roses were back there, or two, they could possibly grow from that dry, bitter mess. Unfortunately, this garden was still an eyesore. In addition to the roses, there was a bunch of green stuff. It was just a mess. Bushes of all sizes scattered. Y'all can see it. Patches of straight what I thought was grass, but later learned were weeds. Viney leaves sprawled everywhere. A few thick stalks growing tall. Just a mess. But I was able to see that there was life. And I realized because there was life, something had to be done. I contemplated calling a landscaper to come and deal with it, but I knew that wouldn't be a good use of our resources given how small the space was, and because at that time I had been out of work for several months. So not only did I have the time, but Minister Greg probably would have lost his whole mind. So I did some research online, spoke to people who knew about gardening, and showed them pictures of what was no longer dead but was still a mess. And I was told that most of that was weeds. Even some of the bushes that had pretty little flowers on them were weeds. And I wanted to keep them. But they were choking the life out of the roses that were trying to grow. How many of us are willing to admit that sometimes something can appear beautiful and we want to keep it around, but it's really poisonous to our call or to our very existence. But we keep it around anyway because it's pretty. And it makes us feel good. But the reality of it is, it has to be dug up from the root so it can't cause further despair in our life. Finally, it was a mild weather day, so I went out there and dug up the weeds. Easy enough, right? A week went by, and we had a couple of days of rain. I looked back out there and saw this all over again. I paid it no mind. But then a few more weeks went by and life was happening and I hadn't paid it much attention. Then one day I looked out there and it looked like I had never even touched it and I was vexed. But the reality is, it was my fault. Because when I went out there, I only did surface level cleaning. I hadn't gone out there and gotten to the root of the matter. Our text says we are to see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So on another mild day, I wrapped my hair, I put on some gloves, and I got out there in that little garden for hours. You see, even if something is small, if bitterness exists, it can cause huge havoc. But I got in that garden, and I dug up every weed I saw at the root. It took digging and pulling. I got scratched up in the process. I had to get on my knees. Some of y'all missed that. It took digging and pulling. I got scratched up in the process, but I had to get on my knees. But the things that had no place in the garden were pulled up from the roof. It wasn't easy. It was a mild day, yet I ended up sweaty and dirty. I ended up with scratches. For a few days, my body pained me. Not forever, but for a few days. But the work had to be done, not to allow any bitter root to grow up, to cause trouble and defile many. So it was worth the hard work and temporary discomfort to get rid of the bitter roots. There are some bitter roots that are so
deeply embedded in our lives that they are causing trouble and defiling our lives and the lives of our families. And it's time to dig them up. And when you dig them up, don't just toss them to the side, because they'll regenerate and cause more problems. Dig them up and give them to God so they can be disposed of, never to be replanted again. No matter how bitter the roots are embedded, no matter how many generations they've existed, no matter how hard they are to dig up, dig them up, dig them up, dig them up. Dig up the bitter roots of hatred. Dig up the bitter roots of insecurity. Dig up the bitter roots of low self-esteem. Dig up the bitter roots of every kind of abuse. Dig up the bitter roots of alcoholism and drug addiction. Dig up the bitter roots of infidelity. Dig up the bitter roots of poverty. Dig up the bitter roots of poor education. Dig up the bitter roots of violence in our communities. Dig up the bitter roots of unhealthy relationships. Dig up the bitter roots of poor health. Dig up the bitter roots of mass incarceration. Dig up the bitter roots of systemic oppression. Dig up the bitter roots of church hurt. Dig them up. Dig them up. Dig them up. Bitter roots have no place growing and causing trouble and defiling the world. So dig them up. Dig them up. Dig them up. Dig them up. And lastly, after you've strengthened your feeble arms and weak knees, you've not only been an example, but you have actively helped others come out of their dry places. You dug up the bitter roots, and now you can recognize the beauty of the garden. Minister Gross, can I get that last picture, please? Hallelujah. The thing that was once thought dead, useless, and unworthy had become a thing of character and beauty. And it was appreciated and enjoyed. It was looked at with admiration and respect. But here's the thing. It has to be nurtured. Even though you've gotten rid of the deeply embedded bitter roots, new roots can still grow if you aren't nurturing this new thing of beauty. You must consistently work at making sure the good roots continue to dig deep and the bitter roots are dug up before they even have a chance to plant. I realized that as long as I regularly got into the garden and tended to the roots, the beautiful roses continued to grow and bloom. Their roots were much deeper than those of the bitter weeds, but they required a different kind of care in order to flourish. If we are going to continuously recognize God's beauty in our lives, we have got to get into the garden. Just because we get into the garden that one time doesn't mean we won't need to get out there again and again, hopefully for something different, because we won't allow cycles to replay. But we will need to get into the garden. Jesus went into the garden, and I don't know about y'all, but in Matthew 26, Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of grief and death." It was because of that despair that Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. The word says he fell to his face to the ground and prayed. If prayer is good enough for Jesus, then I sure enough want to be as prayerful as I can get. So how do we get to the point where we know to get into the garden? Psalm 1:3 talks about how when a person is planted like a tree by streams of water, its leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. We've talked about the bitter roots that we need to dig up. But this is where the deep roots that are water flourish. This is where the prayers of Maddie Mae Wilson and all of the mothers and grandmothers and aunties from generations ago are dug so deep into the core of years of the garden that Jesus cried out in despair. Praise the Lord. But that's okay, because we know what the word says. It says they're dug so deep that we can't escape them. We can't escape the prayers of our mothers and our grandmothers and our aunties. They allow us to push through when the weeds are trying to strangle the life out of us. But it's not enough for you to rest on those roots. You've got to dig some roots for yourself. When you've dug your own roots, let me tell you, you are more than ready to to deal with everything that the world brings to you. It won't be easy, but you be ready. Be it a failed marriage, loss of a job, financial challenges, mistreatment by those who are supposed to love you, humiliation, death, whatever it is, you'll be ready. But in order to be ready, you gotta get prepared. Don't just study the word, but apply it to your life. Don't just attend church, participate in the life of the church. Serve your community. Get into the garden and pray. And I promise you, your roots will grow deeper and deeper and deeper. And when those bitter roots try to grow and cause trouble and defile you, you'll be ready. One of the things I really want y'all to walk away is that as Christians, no matter how strong our faith, we will come against trials. But if your roots are dug deep, you know how to get out of it. In order to enjoy God's beauty, we've got to know how deep our roots are. We've got to know that our roots go back further than generations and generations of praying mothers, grandmothers, aunties, and preachers. Our roots go back over 2,000 years to the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus cried out in despair. Our roots go back to Golgotha when Jesus was crucified. Our roots go back to the old tomb where my Savior rose 3 days after his death. Our roots go back to 39 days after Easter when Christ ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. How deep are your roots? Are your roots deep enough that you know how to fight your trials from overpowering you? Listen. I'm not as tall as I appear to be. Y'all have seen my youngest son. That joker's 13 and 6 feet. I got to keep my height up. So I walk around in heels that are at least 4 inches. And I've learned how to navigate in heels. I've learned how to walk in heels that are high and sometimes even narrow. But that's when everything is cool. Sometimes trouble comes along. And I can still walk, but I have to focus a little more to make sure I hold my balance. Then things get a little bit rough, and I got to go back to my roots, which means I got to get flat-footed, and I got to walk strongly and boldly in the Word of God, because I know to go back to my roots. But you know, sometimes things get a little bit harder, and I have to think about what it is I need to do. Because sometimes life just ain't fair, and the enemy will come for the things and people you love most in order to make you waver. But I thank God my roots are deep because I know what to do. Bow down. Some people think bowing down is a sign of weakness, but when you bow down in prayer, there is power that can't be denied. When you bow down in prayer, weak knees are strengthened. When we get down on our knees and give God every single thing that is attacking us, something changed. You better get on your knees. Father, I stretch my hand to you. No other help I know. But sometimes, even when you seem like you at your worst, the enemy gonna keep on pulling. But my deep roots go deep, and I know to change my prayer posture and get flat on my face. God, I can't do it without you. God, there's no way it's gonna work without you. Your roots go deep. Your roots go deep. Your roots go deep. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your roots go deep, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your roots go deep. And if you know your roots go deep, and there are bitter roots you need to dig up so you can see the beauty of God's grace, the beauty of God's love, the beauty of God's mercy, bring yourself to this altar with the praise and authority, knowing that your roots go deep. Therefore, peace is yours. Therefore, joy is yours. Therefore, salvation is yours. Your roots go deep. Your roots go deep. Your roots go deep. you, God. Thank you, God, for every scratch. Thank you, God, for every bruise. Because of it, I'm stronger. But not because I'm strong, but because I know my roots and I put it in you. So I can give God glory. I can give God honor. I can give God praise. If you know your roots go deep, give them some glory. Cause your roots go deep. I'm done. I'm done. This right here, this work right here, this is for y'all. Y'all better give it to God. Your roots go deep. It's already done. You gonna be okay. Your roots go deep. You whole. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Lift your hands to God. Gracious God, thank you. On this Mother's Day, thank you for every grandmother, every mother, every auntie. Lord God, we even thank you for every father, every grandfather, every uncle, because they are all part of our roots. Lord God, give us everything we need to be equipped to walk in the fullness and the power and authority that you have given to us. Lord God, give us the strength we need to pull up everything that is in our life that has no place there. Give us discernment and clarity to take hold of and embrace every root that belongs there, because it is part of our becoming. It is because part of our wholeness. And for that, we thank you. God, there ain't no pity at this altar. It's all praise, because it's all in you. You've already done it. We just gotta own it and walk in it. Bless each and every person here. Meet them all at their very, very place of need. Let nothing go unmet. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, we say hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we say glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Please, please stay right there. Stay right there. And everyone in the sanctuary, if you're able to stand, please stand to your feet. Because it's one thing for the preacher to tell you that your roots go deep, but it's something else to give your life to Christ so that you can walk in the fullness of your deep roots. If you are in the house today and you have not yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we offer Christ to you on this afternoon.